It's an honor to be here. Like Josh said, that was a long, long time ago. It was actually, it kind of was, but I won't say because I don't want to give out my age or Josh's age. But we were members here. This is also where my wife and I were married, in this same auditorium. And it's always an honor for us to come back here and see. And to this morning, I was just seeing the church full. It just touched my heart to see it. And for those who don't know me, my name is David Houghton. It's good to see new faces, and it's also good to see old faces as well, Josh. It's good to see new faces here. My name is David Houghton. My wife's name is Crystal. And we have a son, David Paul. He is the answer to prayer. We prayed for years for a child. And I always tell people, God answered our prayer. He gave us one son, but he's kind of like five sons put into one. Okay? He was actually a little bit more hyper when he was younger, and he's kind of mellowed out some, but it's still sometimes it's like having five children in our house. But it is an honor for us to be here. We are missionaries to the deaf in Mexico. We've been there now for a total of 17 years. We were in Tampico, Mexico for 2 years, where we worked alongside of another missionary working with the deaf. We learned the language. We learned sign language. Many people ask us, well, is sign language universal? Sign language is not universal, okay? The Mexican Sign Language is different than American Sign Language. There are some signs that are similar. We do have some signs that are the same, but have a different meaning behind the sign. So we actually had to learn Mexican Sign Language. And so learn Mexican Sign Language, also learn Spanish, which this morning you might see I'm trying to struggle not to speak Spanish. It's my, we just came up last Sunday, and it's been a battle at times of trying to make sure I don't speak in Spanish to people. And also sign language, I'm used to signing all the time as well, and just to keep my hands still sometimes is a little difficult. But we've been down there in Ciudad Mante, Mexico, which is 5 hours down from the border. It's a town of about 70,000 to 100,000 people. The town we have that we know of, there's about 100 deaf in that area and the surrounding areas around Ciudad Mante. So our ministry there right now, we're running in our church, we have about a total of, we go from 25 to 30 people on any Sunday. Our main ministry is to the deaf. We also do have a kids ministry that as well. Our kids ministry are mainly family members of the deaf, their kids, and all the kids are hearing. So we do have that as well. We have also been able to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior there in Ciudad Mante. We also have a ministry in Tampico that right now doesn't have a pastor, but we've been going over there, encouraging the deaf over there to continue being faithful. And right now our prayer is that somebody will be called to work with the deaf there in Tampico. Also in Ciudad Mante, it's kind of getting to the point now where I'm looking for somebody to take over that work so we can go to another area of Mexico and start a deaf work. Wherever you go in Mexico, there's deaf people. There's deaf people just about anywhere you go, even here in the States. So our desire is to continue reaching the deaf for Christ. They need to hear the gospel as well. There's very few people that work with the deaf. And sometimes it's hard to find leaders. It's hard to find leaders that will take over the deaf work. I teach at a Bible Institute. Sign language. That's my main class right now. This next year, I'll be teaching another class there at the Bible Institute, and I teach sign language, trying to encourage the students to learn, and also so that way when they graduate, they can go to their areas wherever it may be, where God's called them. Some go back home, some go to other areas. This year, we actually had a couple that are graduating, and they're planning on going to, I forget the country. Which country? Bolivia. Thank you there. Bolivia. Okay, a couple of the students have graduated, and they're going to Bolivia, and they actually told me, we're going to be looking for deaf when we get to Bolivia. I'm like, go for it. I go, look for the deaf. They're there. And so we do have a couple students that are planning on going to Bolivia. And then, so that ministry's really been, we've been able to see students graduate and then go off to their areas and reach the deaf in their areas. I am also involved in a Deaf Bible Institute. We do it every Friday on Zoom. Okay, and it's students from throughout Mexico, deaf that have been reached and feel the call into ministry. And so we do a Bible Institute with them for about 4 hours on a Friday night. And I tell them by the time I'm done, I'm tired, but they enjoy sitting there and learning about ministry, what it takes to be a pastor. And so that's another ministry that we've been able to do. This in the coming month, in July, we will actually be doing our annual deaf camp. This year it will be in Puebla, Mexico, which is about 8 hours south of us, south to the southwest, kind of, sort of. It's closer down to Mexico City. And we'll be going down there carrying a group of our deaf down there. Right now we have about 10 of our deaf that are wanting to go with us, 10, 11, some deaf from Tampico. We also have two deaf that are planning, one deaf from the border wants to come down to Monte and ride down with us to camp. And this year, every year we actually rent a van to go to camp because my little car won't fit everybody. And they'll try, but it won't fit everybody. So every year I rent a camp. This year, a van. This year I actually had two options. One was to drive down. The other option that I liked was actually to have a chauffeur there in Monte drive us down in their van and everything. And I left it up to the deaf to decide, and they told me, we want you to drive. So so I will be driving. And I was actually kind of surprised by that. Sometimes they say my driving kind of scares them on the highways there. But they go, we want you to drive. So I'm going to be driving down to camp. Please pray for that. Every year we have, this last year we had about 100 deaf. Actually, it was over 100 deaf from throughout all of Mexico that come to camp. And we had about, I'm kind of being modest with the numbers here, we had about 20 come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior there at camp. Then we had another about 20 that surrendered their lives to do whatever God would have them to do. So the camps are designed, it's a family camp, pretty much from young age all the way up to adults, senior adults, that come to camp. So please pray for that. Pray that God will work on their hearts, start working on their hearts now. So we will have many more decisions this year at camp. And we're actually hoping for more deaf to come as well that have never been to camp or never, that aren't even in church. So please pray for that, that the Lord will work on their hearts. Also us as leaders for our decisions that we're making for camp. So that's just a little bit about what's going on there in Mexico. Some people go, well, why Mexico? That's kind of a difficult country right now. Well, it is, but the Lord's kept us safe. And my heart's in Mexico. This morning, it was kind of like bittersweet for me this week, is coming up here. I get to see my family. I get to graduate, but also I love my church. I love the deaf. And that's where my heart is with the deaf. Thankfully for technology, they can do their video calls with us. I think there's some deaf that have been calling us every day to see how we're doing and what we're doing. And there's one that I go, I'm sleeping right now. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. But just to give you a little update about our ministry, what we're doing down there. If you have any questions, feel free after the church service to come to us, talk to us about the deaf, about us. Our son, by the way, is 15 years old. I was actually joking around with Faith this morning. I said, I'm about 8. I think we decided I'm about 18 years old, because when I reached a certain age, I started going back down. So I always tease people about that. But anyways, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles today. I'll go ahead and preach to you. It kind of goes along with what Josh was saying, my message this morning. It's amazing how God will take things that are said and kind of use them. And also with the message, and it all just kind of fit together. And today I'm going to talk about prayer and the importance of praying for your missionaries. I know you guys pray for us, and thank you for that. Thank you for your support all these years, for your faithful support of our ministry, for your prayers. Thank you, Josh, for always keeping in touch with us to see how everything's going down there. We do appreciate your friendship and your family as well. We appreciate your family. But it's important to pray. Many times it is difficult to know what to pray for you for the ministry, for the missionaries. Many times people, we come in and say, well, pray for us. But many times we leave out specific ways in which you can pray for us. And there's specific things in our lives, in our ministries, that you can pray for. Because prayer is an important part. We couldn't do it. We couldn't stay down in another country if it wasn't for your prayers. It's an integral part of the ministry is prayer. And even Paul in the Bible, even Paul when he was writing the New Testament, encouraged the people to pray for him, to pray for his leadership, to pray for the other leaders, to pray for them. And we must also remember to pray for the missionaries. Pray for us. What are some ways? How do we pray for missions? First of all, we need to pray for more workers. As I mentioned this morning, as I was kind of giving the update of our ministry and what we're doing, we need more workers. We need more workers. We need more people that are surrendered to go into missions, that are even surrendered to become pastors or church leaders. We need more. And in today's world, it comes to, we still need more. There's not enough. But when he, 9 verse 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need more people sent. How are we going to do it? Pray. Pray. And I'm going to encourage you, first of all, pray for what the Lord will have you do. Sometimes it's easy for us to go, oh, Lord, send laborers into your harvest. Lord, send out people that can go. But sometimes we tend to go, oh, that person over there, send them. Send them. I'm comfortable here. But send them. They can go. And sometimes we tend to do that. I remember when I was in college here, and that was one of my main excuses, first of all, when I was called into the ministry, was, oh, that person can go. That person can go. I'm kind of a reserved person, kind of quiet at times, and I just thought, you know, it would be better that person over there go. And when the Lord started working on our hearts to work with the deaf, it was a missions emphasis week at the college, and a missionary came from Mexico, and she was sharing with us her burden for the deaf out of her husband's ministry, and she was sharing with us her burden for the deaf, her burden for Mexico. And at first I was like, oh, Lord, that's nice. That's nice. I'm glad. Hopefully somebody will go to Mexico. And I thought, you know, I could never learn another language. And then the Lord started working on my heart. I realized, well, maybe I can. But Lord, that's going to be two languages I'm going to have to learn. I'm going to have to learn sign language and Spanish. And sometimes, I'll tell you, sometimes it gets difficult. Sometimes my Spanish, some people have told me I have one, and some people in Mexico have told me, oh, your Spanish is wonderful. You just speak so wonderful. And I've had other people go, we don't understand a word you're saying. But the thing is, the Lord will make it possible. And our prayer needs to be focused on, what can I do? What can I do to reach the lost? What can I do? Lord, what will you have me do? Will you have me go to Mexico? Will you have me go to another country? And then we also have a mission field here in the U.S. too. The Lord can use you here. And we must make sure our prayers are focused on the lost. And as we see here, Jesus had a compassion for the multitudes. And sometimes I think we tend to get caught up in the news and get caught up in what everything's going on, that we just, our compassion isn't a compassion at all. And we say we have a compassion. We say we care for the deaf. I mean, care for others. We say that we care for the lost and we want to reach them. But what are we doing to reach them? And that's where the prayers come in. And then not just pray for more workers and pray for missions. We must also pray for the missionaries. There are specific things that you can pray for us. Every day. It's an everyday thing. Not just, oh, I remember today to pray for such and such missionary. No. Pray for each one of your missionaries. First of all, pray that God will open doors for the word to be preached. That God will give us opportunities to preach the gospel. That we'll have the ability to preach the gospel. I know in the country that we're in Mexico, it's just like here. We have the freedom. We can go. We can go wherever we want in Mexico and talk to people about Jesus. We can go. We can do it in the stores. You can do it anywhere. Even though they have tried to make laws that kind of prohibit it, but so far those laws have been rejected every time they come up. But we have that freedom. But please, pray for the missionaries. Pray that they'll be able to have that opportunity to preach the word. And just pray for the opportunities for missionaries to be able to get the gospel out. Colossians 4. It'll actually be starting in verse 2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. And this is a place where Paul tells them to pray for them. That God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer to every man. And I kind of think the rest of these verses kind of go into that. We must pray. Pray that we have the opportunity to speak, but not just that we have the opportunity to speak, that we speak what we need to say. That we speak what we need to say. Sometimes I think the hardest thing is sometimes we'll talk to somebody and we'll be talking to them and talking to them and talking to them, sharing the gospel with them. And sometimes we just get to, okay, what do we say to them? And really, it's God that helps us. Nothing I can do in Mexico can be done by my own almost have forces there. By my own strength. Nothing I do can be done by my own strength. Nothing I do can be done by my own words. I can try. But all that I do, he does it through me. He helps me. He gives me the words I need to say. He gives me the wisdom in how to deal with certain circumstances. I can't do it without God. So that's one way to pray for us. Pray that we'll have the opportunities, that we'll have those words that we need to say so people can be saved. So the gospel can be preached. So the gospel can be spread. And then also that we have the ability to open our mouths boldly. Ephesians 6, chapters number 18 and 19. Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul's telling them, pray, 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 pray always with prayer and supplication. Also pray for me. that I will be able to speak the gospel boldly, that I'll be able to preach boldly, that I'll be able to say what needs to be said. Sometimes I think in our world, in our culture, we've gotten to the point where sometimes we don't want to offend people. Where we don't want to offend people. But the thing with the gospel is it needs to be preached. We must preach the gospel. And then pray for protection. Pray for protection. Pray for our protection. We live in a, we missionaries, okay? And sometimes Mexico's not one of the most dangerous countries in the world, okay? There are dangerous areas, and we live in one of them, okay? And we do, okay? People, sometimes we go to other parts of Mexico, we tell people, and they'll ask, oh, what state are you in? And we'll go, Tamaulipas. And they'll just sit there and go, you're not scared? Well, no. Oh, we've heard, and they'll go, well, God's kept us safe so far. God's protected us. And, you know, God protects us. And you must pray for our protection. Like I mentioned, other countries, there's other countries that are a lot more dangerous than Mexico. There's other countries where, I mean, they find out you're a Christian and bad things can happen. Thankfully, Mexico's not like that. But we do need your protection. I mean, pray for protection. And I'll tell you one thing, okay? It's not just we talk about protection from, you know, the bad elements and everything. But driving in Mexico is different from driving in America. Okay, I think any country, it's kind of, many countries are like that. I think the McClure's as well can say, and other countries are, it's not like driving here. Mexico, we actually, the highways are three lanes, okay? And you say, three lanes, well, how can, okay? We have a lane here, and then there's a middle lane. And what you use that middle lane for is you, if you need to pass somebody, you'll pass through that middle section. Okay, but sometimes you'll have a car here and the car you're passing. And you just kind of pray that, you know, everything just falls into place and you just step on it. And sometimes, you know, but it's not the most safest thing to be driving in Mexico. Pray for our protection. Pray for us. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know what? We need to pray. Pray that, first of all, that the word of the Lord may have free course, may be free to go out. And then we also must pray for deliverance. Why? Because there's men that aren't saved. There's people that aren't saved. There's people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that aren't very happy when a pastor pulls up and starts a church in their neighborhood. There's people that are against us at times. And even amongst the deaf, I'll tell you, you know, you think sometimes, well, deaf ministry is kind of easy because the deaf don't know Jesus Christ. Many of them grow up in Catholic homes, but however they may grow up in those Catholic homes, but they don't have an understanding of what even the Catholics teach. They just are told, oh, do it, and they'll copy. Well, you know, you got to do this, and then they'll do it. But there are deaf that don't want to have anything to do with God, and they cause issues. They cause problems in our ministry. Pray for us. Pray for our protection. Pray for the other missionaries that y'all support. Pray for their safety. Why? Because we live in an evil, wicked world. I don't know if y'all heard about that missionary that was in Africa, South Africa, a couple weeks ago, that was kidnapped. He was up preaching at church. Group came in, kidnapped him. And they, thankfully, everything, God protected him, and he was released. But you know what? It's not safe. Pray for your missionaries. Pray that God will put a hedge of protection around them. Then pray for our ministries. Pray for our ministries. Gave you a couple of our ministries today that we have. We have the Bible Institutes that we're involved in. We also have our ministry at the church. We have our kids' ministry. Pray for our ministries. Pray for our kids. Just like here, the kids are bombarded down there. They go to school, they're taught things that are not good things, okay? They're taught many of the things that they're being taught here. You know, just different things that are against the Bible. Pray for them. Pray that they'll continue to have a desire to learn. Our kids, most of our kids, other than the family members that come, we have three grandkids. Their grandmother comes, and then we have another three or four kids that are, well, yeah, two or three kids that come that are siblings of one of our deaf, but their parents don't come to church. So they're on one side, they're being raised, they're learning about God, they're learning, few of them have already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but on the other hand, they're being taught things at home that aren't right. Pray for them. I had a talk with one last week. He was telling me, I go, well, what are you going to do when you get old, when you grow up? He goes, I don't know. I go, well, Diego, you're going to have to start praying now. He's like, okay. I go, pray. Pray for what God wants you to do. I go, whether it's, you know, God may call you just to be a, you know, just to choose a career and work. But it's important to know what God wants you to do. So please pray for those kids. My heart's for the deaf, but I also have a heart for those kids. Because I want them to see them serve Christ. I want to see them grow up and continue to serve Christ as they get older. That's my prayer for my son too. Pray for him. It's kind of hard, you know. Sometimes He grew up in Mexico. We adopted him from Mexico. He had to learn English. And sometimes that's a struggle. I mean, sometimes just speaking English, he comes up here, and sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm in this different world. I'm, you know, everybody's speaking English, and he has to speak English, and sometimes it just is a little bit of a culture shock, I think, sometimes when he comes up here. But pray for him. Pray that he will decide to do what God wants him to do for his life. Pray for our ministries, that more people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that we'll have those opportunities to spread the gospel where we're at, that we'll see more people come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, but also become surrendered to go and into full-time ministry. Then pray for our strength. Pray for our strength. We're humans. We get sick. Sometimes I'm finding as I get closer to 50, I'm not there yet, but I'm finding as I get closer, sometimes I wake up in the morning and there's parts of my body that I didn't even know existed when I was younger. I think I wake up, sometimes my feet hurt, sometimes my knees hurt, sometimes my back hurts. Pray for our strength. Pray for our health. Why? Because we need it. We need it. We need the strength. We're humans. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I have issues. I have weaknesses. I have pain. I have sickness sometimes. Pray for our strength. Those are just a few specific things that you can pray for. You can pray for more workers. You can pray for that God will give us the opportunities. God will open those doors, that we will be able to speak more boldly, that we will have protection. Pray for our ministries. Pray for our strength. Those are just a few specific things, because it's important. You know, sometimes you can pray, oh, well, Lord, bless the missionary down there in Mexico, or bless the missionary over there in Ethiopia, or bless the missionary over there in Brazil. Oh, bless the missionary over there, or bless the missionary over there. Okay, but what are specific things that you can pray for? Our prayers must be, as was mentioned this morning, our prayers must be specific. There are specific things that you can pray for your ministries, for your missionaries, for your pastor, specific things that you can pray for. Because a lot of these things that I mentioned can also go for Pastor Josh. They can. A lot of the things that I mentioned, the praying for protection, praying for an open doors, praying, go for him as well as your leader. Your leaders in the church need your prayers. Prayer is important. And I would also encourage you this morning, I kind of mentioned it a little bit, pray what God would have you do. Maybe God, young people, I'm also talking to you, maybe God will have you become a missionary. Go somewhere. Maybe God will call you to be a church leader somewhere here in the U.S. That's wonderful as well. But pray. Pray for what God will have you do. Those that are parents, mother, father, pray for your children. Pray for your children. They're living in a time where it's difficult. They're living in a time where they're taught, oh, well, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. They're living in a time where they're encouraged to be successful, which there's nothing wrong with that. They're living in a time where they're taught, oh, well, it's better to go get a lot of money, grow up, have a nice big home, have a nice car, which those are good things. Okay? I have nothing against that. But pray for them that God will use them. Pray for them that God will work in their lives. that they'll be willing to do what God wants them to do. And I'm also going to tell you, sometimes we use the excuse, oh, well, yeah, I'm already old. I'm already at an age where I'm getting close to retirement, where I'm getting close, where I'm getting to that age. God can still use you. God can still call you to the mission field. I was kind of encouraged this week. We were at the college on Friday, and we saw Mary Herman. Mary Herman, she retired from teaching and became a missionary, helping missionaries, teaching missionaries how to teach. I mean, she was already, when she retired, I'm not going to guess her age, okay? She was already older. God can use you even though you may be older. God can use you. Pray. Pray for what God wants you to do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to come back here and meet new people, also to see old friends, Lord. Thank you for this church and the blessing that they've been in our lives throughout these years, Lord, for their faithfulness in this community of Republic. Lord, please be with each one of the missionaries, Lord, that this church supports, that you help them today, keep them safe where they're at. Also, Lord, please pray for We pray for those that are here, that possibly God's calling, that you're calling them into to do something with their lives. Help them to have that boldness to step out and say, here I am, I'm going to do it. Lord, please help each one this morning, Lord. Thank you for everything. In your name, amen.